Good morning, everyone. It's a very special day today as we have Brother Thomas Simpson with us. He is going to be sharing with us a hometown Christmas specials on music and preaching from God's Word today. We're very glad that he's able to be with us. In our call to worship today, I was reading again in Luke chapter 2, very familiar passage of Scripture, about a man who had been waiting for the coming of the Messiah. We are waiting too. We're waiting for the arrival of our Lord and the trumpet that will sound and the dead in Christ to rise first, and we caught up together to meet the Lord in there. We're waiting too. But they were waiting for the first coming. Let me read beginning at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine this, having that knowledge and understanding that he would not pass from this earthly scene until he had seen the Christ child? What a gift was given to him. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the Jews, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He got to behold the Christ child with his eyes, but notice his response after he did that. Lord, I'm ready to go. Take me. Do you think that would be our response today? Lord, I want to live another 15 years. You know? No, he was ready to go. He had seen the Christ child that had been promised, but now he was ready to go unto the Father. What a spirit-filled man.
Yes.
Who understood and knew that his salvation was wrapped up in this child he's holding, but he was ready to go to the Father. He was ready to be with him, knowing that God keeps his promise. If God would keep his promise to him personally, to see the Christ child, God keep his promise to bring the Christ into this earth, then God would keep his promises concerning death. Amen?
Amen.
He understood that God is a promise keeper. And so we rejoice in that today. Even though we wait for the coming of our Lord, we know that he keeps his promises. And we rest in that wonderful fact. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 87 as we begin our service. Number 87, Angels We Have Heard on High. Let's stand together as we sing.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains
back and sing stanza 4, and then we'll follow that with the refrain. 3, 4, and then the refrain. Here we go.
Come to let thy heaven sing in whose presence.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for this special day of remembering the first coming of our Savior to this earth as a child born in a manger of lowly birth, yet the Son of God. We're so thankful this morning that you had a plan before the foundation of this world to redeem lost sinners. We were in that plan. We are so thankful for that. We rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ that was accomplished on Calvary's tree, the resurrection from the dead, bodily from the tomb, and which forever seals eternal life for us. And Lord, we look forward to that day in which you come to take us to be with thee. Lord, I pray that we would not grow weary in waiting, but rather that we would occupy until you come, be faithful in witnessing to others, be faithful in studying your word. We thank you, Father, for the gift of the word of God. The only knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ is through the scriptures. And so we rejoice in that today. We thank you for us being together today. We thank you for Brother Thomas coming to share with us this wonderful program. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that our hearts would be challenged, that we might be encouraged today as we've gathered together. We think of those that are not with us today. Some are sick. We pray for healing in their behalf. We think of those that are traveling today, that you would watch over and protect and keep them safe as well. And Lord, give us a wonderful time together today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn together back a few pages to number 85. Number 85, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
I mentioned before, it is so wonderful today to have with us Brother Thomas Simpson. He's no stranger to our church. He's been with us with two different teams, with the Ambassador Baptist College Quartet. And he let me know some months ago that he was going to be doing a Christmas mini concert and messages in different churches and wanted to know if he could come here. And so we were so thankful that he agreed to come. And so, Brother, I'm going to turn the service over to you at this time.
Well, thank you so much.
Amen.
It's a privilege to be here and want to exalt the Savior, want Him to be preeminent, want Him to be center stage today. And this first song is one that I remember singing in choirs years gone by, 10,000 Hallelujahs.
Scoff and coldly watch him die. The host of hell rejoices as he suffers on the tree. Then a mighty "It is finished" splits the sky.
Pastor said, I'm looking forward to his second coming. And I tell you what, it is a joy. As someone was saying, well, you look very Christmassy today. I think it should be Christmas every day of the year, at least for a Christian, to know that Christ has come. We serve a risen Savior, and He's in the world today. So I'm excited to share some perhaps newer songs to you. This previous one was written by Ron Hamilton. We're going to be singing a song of his later on today, Born to Die, one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. And perhaps this next one is one of your favorites as well. I invite you to turn with me, number 82. Number 82, if you'd like to sing along, you can. You can remain seated. Number 82, we'll be doing the first and the third, one of my favorites, O Holy Night.
O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt His worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks the new and glorious morn. Fawn your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine.
Truly He taught us,
truly taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all the oppression shall cease. As sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, for it all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord, the ever those praise Him, His power and glory evermore proclaim, His power and glory evermore proclaim.
This next song is one that the title can throw you off. You know, I hesitate to use the word story when we refer to Christmas, because we think, oh, it's fictitious, you know, it's made up, it's fake. But this is history, His story, the true account that Jesus Christ was born to live a sinless life, to die for you and for me. It truly is the greatest story ever told.
Sin grips the heart within, a curse on fallen man. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight, fulfilled the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost, their sins forgiven. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give unending grace. This Son of God who gave his life and took the grave, obeyed his Father's will despite the cost. But death could not contain his power, his love, his grace, for he is risen. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus, how he came to earth to rescue sinful men, sent from the Father up above to sacrifice in love and take our place and give unending grace. The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus.
And I'm so thankful that we have something to sing about that's not just feeling oriented and certainly not fictitially oriented, but it's based upon the truth that yes, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, robed himself in human flesh to come for you and for me. This next song is going to be a piano solo. I'll give you the story and then I'll invite you to turn to it in the hymn books. This man by the name of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, you may have heard this story before, and he's one of America's greatest poets. He wrote Paul Revere, the write-up. I remember memorizing some of that in school, and other different poems or different writings would read in literature class. He was a man who went through a lot in his life. He and his wife suffered the loss of an infant child. And perhaps some of you know that loss, it broke their hearts. But an even greater tragedy, perhaps, was when his wife was stamping some letters with hot wax, and in a tragic accident, her dress caught fire. Woke him from a nap, and he rushed into the room, tried to save her first with a rug, I think, and then with himself, and it was too late. Because of the scars that he took in trying to save his wife, he eventually grew a beard to try to hide it. He was so bruised in attempting to save his wife's life that he wasn't able to attend his own wife's funeral. It was about that time that the Civil War was coming. I believe it was two years later. His oldest son, Charlie, went and signed up for the Union Army against his father's permission. His father eventually wrote the commanding officer and said, you know, give him an officer position. Keep him away from the fighting. And at one of the battles, he was sent to guard the wagons, and he couldn't stand it. But as it would come, he was shot in one of the battles, and they wrote back to Henry Wadsworth Longfellow as he's sitting at supper with his family. And they erroneously said that it was shot in the face. He wasn't shot in the face. He was shot in the shoulder blade. But it was less than an inch from his spine. He was less than an inch from being paralyzed. So rushing there on the next train, as soon as he could get there, was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow to see his son. And it was by his son's bedside that he wrote the song that I'm going to play next. You can turn to number 103. I'll be playing three stanzas, the first, the third, and the fourth. The third is really where you see some of the despair, some of the questioning that was in his heart. But I'm so thankful for the fourth and fifth stanzas where hope was restored in Christ. I don't know what you've had to go through this past year. Perhaps you look back and you think about different financial struggles, different family issues, perhaps a health diagnosis. Perhaps you're coming to Christmas with not as much expectancy this year because you know there's going to be one person less at the table. But I remember that no matter what you've been through, God is still on the throne. And that if that loved one that you knew Christ, they're with Him this Christmas. And that's the best Christmas they could ever have. And I'm so thankful for that, for the hope, the expectant hope, that one day I'll see my Savior face to face. And I'm thankful for the hope, even this Christmas season. How many ever worked retail? You ever worked at a shopping place or something like that? Okay, well, I worked for 2 years when I was an ambassador at the Walmart in Shelby. Yeah. Did you ever work there? No, okay, count your blessings, name them one by one. No, I really did like the job. I unloaded trucks, I stocked the shelves, and I ran away from customers. It was the life. But there was one thing I really did not like about that job, and that was every Christmas, it seemed like they played the same playlist, the same CD of seven songs again and again and again. And I'm like, do they know that there's other Christmas music than these different songs? And it just, you know, I just had to tune it out every Christmas. And maybe you're like that, you know, when you go shopping, you know, if you go in there and by the time that you leave, they're playing the same song twice, you probably have been in there too long, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, this next song is kind of like, can we have a little fun this morning? Would that be okay? Okay. This next song is written, and it's kind of like, you know, if you know someone that's kind of like an Ebenezer Scrooge, you know, they just can't stand Christmas. They don't decorate in December. They don't decorate in July. They don't decorate ever, you know. Maybe this song was written by them. So let's just have a little fun.
Why do people sing those silly songs on Christmas Eve? Little elves and loud sleigh bells that ring incessantly. If you're dreaming of the whitest winter, you should know, not in Florida, that someone young and nimble has to shovel all the snow.
You're looking at him, by the way.
Don't get another silly song stuck inside my head. One that makes me lie awake at night, tossing in my bed. If you see flying reindeer or a talking man of snow, call a doctor, drink some water. Just please don't sing another silly Christmas song. When we see the sugar plums a-dancing in our head, we forget the algebra and history we read. While you go a-caroling and jingling those bells, just think of what you're doing to your little kid brain cells.
It's not pretty.
Please don't get another silly song stuck inside my head. One that makes me lie awake at night, tossing in my bed. If you see flying reindeer or a talking man of snow, call a doctor, drink some water. Just please don't sing another silly Christmas song. Every year they start to sing them earlier, I fear. As the leaves are turning brown, here comes the Christmas cheer. We must stop the madness, or one day you soon will spy folks wearing goofy hats and ugly sweaters in July.
Too soon, people. Too soon.
Please don't get another silly song stuck inside my head. One that makes me lie awake at night, tossing in my bed. If you see flying reindeer or a talking man of snow, call a doctor, drink some water. Just please don't sing another silly Christmas song. Please stop before I have to sing along. Don't sing another silly Christmas song.
Hope you can laugh with me. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I really do enjoy Christmas. And I love to sing about Christ and to reflect upon the greatest gift that we have ever been given. But even as our brother shared in Sunday school, you know, when Mary and Joseph and the baby came to Bethlehem, she had to wrap them in swaddling clothes and lie them in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. this next song before the message, ask the question, will you let him into your heart?
Hear quiet knocking at Bethlehem's doorways, searching for shelter, a mother and child. Send to a stable, a manger his cradle, for none would make room for the King. Hear how the prophets foretold of his coming, loving Messiah to seek and to save. Send to bear burdens of suffering and sinners, to die that the sinner might live. Let him in, let him in, let this child into your heart. Hold him close, feel the hope that is piercing through the night. Trust in him, come to him, the Messiah come to save. Welcome the Savior, and let him enter in. How can this baby be spurned and rejected? How can such love be ignored and reviled? Sent as a Savior, a friend and forgiver, still none would make room for the King. Hush, hear him knocking, he stands at the doorway. Hear how his voice calls you out of the night. Trust in the Savior and bid him to enter. Will you make room for the King? Let him in, let him in, let this child into your heart. Hold him close, feel the hope that is piercing through the night. Trust in him, come to him, the Messiah come to receive. Welcome the Savior, and let him enter.
Trust, if there's never been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ, that today will be that day. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to re-preach our brother's Sunday school lesson. Although, if I did, it would be worth it because that was good. And I hope I'm not stealing too much of your thunder by today's... If you miss Sunday school this morning, I know there's different classes, but you missed a treat. That was a blessing. So thank you for your study there, brother. Luke chapter 2 is the Christmas story, no doubt. You have read it before, heard it before, heard many messages upon it. You know, one of the things I love about Scripture is the more you dive into it, the more you find there is there. You never exhaust the supply of Scripture, of God's Word. And we're going to be looking today at one of the audiences that very first Christmas. If you found Luke chapter 2, would you say amen? If you're still looking for it, say, oh me. The amens have it. For sake of context, we'll read the first 7 verses, although our message will really begin in verse 8. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." The past 2 months I got to spend in Ecuador as a kind of an extended mission trip over there. I'll tell you more about the story. My fiance is over there, and we're excited about God's will in the future, waiting on a visa at this point. But I was in a bus terminal in Quito, the capital, for 3 hours. Why? Because it was voting weekend, and everyone in Ecuador is required to vote. You get penalized if you don't vote. Can you imagine if they did that in America, you know, required to vote? Oh, that would be interesting. But everyone's required to vote there, and you have to go back to your hometown. I wish I'd have known it before I gotten in that bus terminal. But I was waiting for 3 hours because the line to go back on the bus that I needed was incredibly long, people getting back to their hometown. Hopefully, Joseph and Mary didn't have that traffic. Verse number 5. The Bible says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Then verse number 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Today I'd like to bring you a simple message entitled, "Lessons from a Christmas Shepherd." Lessons from a Christmas Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word. I thank you for the blessing that we had in Sunday school and just in the early part of this service, singing together songs about your birth. And though we know today that we serve a risen Savior, and you're in the world today, we pray that you would get our minds upon you, that you put aside the distractions of this world, and that we would focus upon you as your word is open this morning, even the short time remaining. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. It's interesting, in verse number 8, it says that we're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field. Why was a shepherd the first one that night outside of Joseph and Mary, perhaps the innkeeper, although I would doubt it, seeing if he refused them, he said, go back to the, you know, stable or whatnot. Why was it shepherds that were the first people to hear of the birth of Christ? You know, the Bible says in Genesis that shepherds were an abomination unto the Egyptians. I mean, they were considered the lowliest. You know, I remember when Samuel, you know, goes to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. He says, show me your sons. And they show him all the sons except one. He says, are there any more? Oh, well, there's one more. There's David, but he's out with the sheep. Almost forgotten, despised. And yet shepherds were the first that night to hear of the birth of Jesus Christ. The first point I have, just a simple message today, is this. Number one, you have significance. You have significance. You may have come here today and there's more month at the end of the money. You know, when you're looking at what you can get for other people for Christmas, you know, I'm so poor, I can't even pay attention. You know, you're like, yeah, I'll have to give you another year subscription to my friendship. You know, something like that is what you're thinking. You know, maybe you come in here and you say, I don't have a lot to do. I don't have a lot, you know, to put under the tree or to give to others. I just don't have a lot of means. Maybe you're here and you're blessed. You have a lot of means. Maybe you're here today and you're poor of health. Maybe here today and you're a little older, you say, well, I'm going to let the younger folks serve, you know, and I'll just come for the services. Can I tell you this? No matter what your age, no matter how much money you have in the bank, no matter what your situation is, you have significance to a God in heaven. He cares about you. He knows what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in these shepherds' lives. Perhaps some of them are younger, some of them are older. But none of them had this esteemed position. Oh, wow, so-and-so. No, they're just shepherds. But to God, he sees them as people who have a soul, who one day are going to live forever in either heaven or hell. And everyone has significance because they're made in the image of God. He came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's everyone. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, He died for you. You have significance to Him. You're so significant that God the Father said, you know what? You're worth sending my Son, my only begotten Son, to be born in a humble stable, to live a perfect life among sinful men, and to die a criminal's death. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. You have significance this morning, my friend. And you say, well, I'm a little older, you know, do I really have that much significance? God cares about everyone, no matter what their age. There's something for you to do. You can meet people that I'll never meet to share the story of Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But you have significance. They were in the same country, shepherds, verse 8, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Sheep are dumb. They have to be watched like 24/7, you know. And I think that's why, you know, the scripture refers to us sometimes as sheep, right? You know, because I realize that more and more that I'm finite. I need God's help. I will always be weak, but He will always be strong. The shepherds there are watching over their sheep. They're abiding in the field. Then verse number 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Well, I would be too. You know, you're out there, you know, just, you know, oh, there's Mo, you know, there's Larry, there's Curly, there's Extra Curly. Yeah, you know, all the different sheep that you have, you know. And then all of a sudden, this beam of light captures the sky. We're going to see in a little bit the multitude of the heavenly hosts. I would be afraid too, you know. That's why the very first words of most of the angels are verse number 10. The angel said unto them, fear not. No kidding. Okay. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That word good tidings in other places, it's translated preach the gospel. It's evangelizo. It is the good news that Jesus Christ has come. Verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a, what's the next word, church?
Savior.
A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Number one, you have significance. Number two, you have a Savior. You have a Savior. Amen. You know, it is easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of Christmas. You know, how many still need to shop? You still need to shop for family, get some Christmas. Yeah, I'm there too. I'm usually waiting until December 24th, you know, to get my Christmas list. No, I'm just kidding. Well, actually, sometimes. Okay. You know, it's easy to get lost in the hustle and bustle and finding the best deals. You know, looking at the Sears catalog that you can't buy anything from, but you look at it, you know, and just, you know, all the different. Now it's online shopping, right? You know, who goes Black Friday shopping? You know, it's all online. It's Cyber Monday, Cyber Weekend, Cyber Week, Cyber Month. I don't know what it is. It's Cyber Year now. But it's just, you know, finding all the deals. And I love the decorations. There's certainly nothing wrong with decorating for Christmas. And I love the festivity, the colors and so forth. But we must not forget what Christmas is all about. Were it not for Christ, there would be no Christmas. Were it not for Christmas, there would be no cross. And were it not for the cross, there would be no heaven for you and for me. So I'm so thankful that we do have a Savior. Why do we have a Savior? Because we have sin. Because we do things that we shouldn't. You know, how many of you are parents here today? Yeah, your parents. You didn't have to teach your children how to sin, right? How to lie. You know, some of you, he rolled your eyes as soon as I said that. You know it. You don't have to teach them to lie. You don't have to teach them to have a bad attitude. You need to take something from their soul. No, that's just part of their nature. We have the sin nature before we accept Christ, right? You know, we're sinners by nature and by choice. It's because we have sin, because we disobey God's law, we do things we shouldn't, and we don't do things that we should, that Christ needed to come. Only He could be the sacrifice for you and me. Only He could be the Savior to save us from our sin, because He knew no sin. If He had sin of His own, when He died on the cross, He died for His own. But He didn't have any sin. He died for yours. And He died for mine. We must remember, Grace Bible Church, that we have a Savior. So when you're out and about, maybe you're at the workplace and something discouraging happens, remember, you have a Savior who cares about you, who's willing to give you His peace if you focus on Him instead of your problems. When you go out and you know and something doesn't happen the way that you thought it would, remember, you have a Savior who works all things together for good, who knows all about your situation. And if you'll surrender it to Him, if you'll submit it to Him, He'll bring it about for your good and for His glory. You have a Savior. Verse number 12, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, I think about the first part of that verse. It struck me even, you know, in doing these Christmas concerts, that I am to live every day for glory to God. When I sing, when I play, it ought to be for the glory of God. When I'm out and about Monday through Saturday, it ought to be about the glory of God. When I am by myself and no one else sees me but God in heaven, I ought to live for the glory of God. Are you living for the glory of God today? I trust that you are. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Think about it. There was tranquility. There was peace in heaven. And now the Prince of Peace has come to earth. He says, good will toward men. God is pleased to bless men with His way towards peace, with the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse number 15, "It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Okay, so what do they know to look for? Well, they know to look for a baby, right? You know, okay. So do they go to the hospitals? I don't know. They Baptist Hospital of Bethlehem, Episcopal Hospital of Bethlehem, you know, Pentecostal. I don't know. They go to all the different. No, He's not in the hospital. Why? Because of the other two things. They know He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, just little strips of cloth, then lying in a manger, a feeding trough. Why would Mary lay her firstborn child in a feeding trough? I mean, what was in there before? Perhaps the same kind of, you know, pig slop that the prodigal son was surviving off of in his darkest days. Perhaps it was just corn, just straw. I don't know. She had to push it aside. Joseph did, I'm sure, to help her. And that's where her firstborn son was laid. Why? Because that was the best that she had. So they're on the lookout. Verse number 16, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." You know, it's interesting, and you know, in studying for this and reading, you know, there's one commentator, he made a point when they come in here that there's no light emanating from the mother. There's no halo around Jesus' head, certainly none around Mary or Joseph's head. What do they see here? They see a little baby, does not show any marks that would distinguish him from any other infant. Isaiah 53 speaks to that. And yet this little baby we see lying here is the second person of the Trinity. He himself has been God forever. This baby is the God who's taken on human flesh, the Son of God. And just like he came the first time, our Savior is coming again. 1 Peter 5 verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." When he came the first time, he was born as a babe in the manger. But when he's coming again the second time, he is coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. Verse number 17, "And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." What, angels, a host, praising God, virgin-born baby? "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as was told unto them." There's a lot of things we could talk about today. But the third thing I'd like to bring to your attention is simply this. Number one, you have significance. And that's found in your identity in Christ. Number two, you have a Savior. He is ever with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He came to save you from your sin. If you don't know Him as your Savior, you can know Him today. And He ever liveth to make intercession for those that believe. But thirdly is this, you have a story. You have a story to tell. What did the shepherds tell others? You know, did they give them out of their Bible college degree? You know,
"Oh, you know, this is what I studied in, you know, Soteriology 101. And this is what, you know, Professor, you know, Dreischnott said in his class on Ecclesiology."
No, they didn't have that to share, right? They didn't have some pedigree. They didn't have some, you know, vast intellectual wisdom. No. They simply shared what they had seen and heard. My friend, you don't have to wait till you go to Bible college to share the gospel. Because to simply share the gospel, you tell someone what Christ has done for you and what Christ has done for them. You know, I think I've shared my testimony here before, but it's not very glamorous. I was saved at the age of 8. I say it's not very glamorous. I remember hearing other testimonies that I was saved out of a life of sin, and praise the Lord if you're saved out of a life of sin. Praise the Lord if you're saved from a life of sin. And every testimony is a testimony of God's amazing grace. You have a story to tell others what Christ has done for you. There's people that maybe you'll meet this Christmas time that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's a family member. You know, we all have a family of some kind of another. And most of my immediate family is saved. All of my immediate family is saved. Praise the Lord. I know there's some distant relatives as well who have not accepted Christ. And they need Him. They need to hear the story, even from me. There's friends that you have that you can share the good news of Christ with. People in some kind of organization that perhaps you're in, or perhaps someone in your neighborhood. Perhaps someone that you work with. You know, maybe you go golfing with. There's people that need to hear about Jesus Christ, and you can tell them. The shepherds didn't have a lot to say, "Hey, look at me, look at this." But they simply said, "Look at Christ. Come see the babe that was born in Bethlehem." You have a story. I'll end with a poem, and it really speaks about the Christ who not only was he seen of the shepherds, but He is the Good Shepherd. John 10, "The Good Shepherd that giveth His life for the sheep." It's entitled "Poor Little Black Sheep" by Ethel Brazelton. "Poor little black sheep that strayed away, to lost in the wind and the rain. And the shepherd, he say, 'Oh, hireling, go find my sheep again. And the hireling frowns, oh, shepherd, that sheep is black and bad. But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep, was the onlyest lamb he had, was the onlyest lamb he had. And he say, oh, hireling, hasten, for the wind and the rain am cold. And that little black sheep am lonesome, out there so far from the fold. And the hireling frowned, oh, shepherd, that sheep is old and gray. But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep, was fair as the break of day, was fair as the break of day. And he say, oh, hireling, hasten, lo, here is the 99. But they're way off from the sheepfold, is that little black sheep of mine. And the hireling frowned, oh, shepherd, the rest of the sheep is here. But the shepherd, he smiled like the little black sheep, he hold it the most dear. He hold it the most dear. And the shepherd go out in the darkness, where the night was cold and bleak. And that little black sheep, he find it, and he lay it against his cheek. And the hireling frowned, oh, shepherd, don't bring that sheep to me. But the shepherd, he smiled, and he hold it close. And that little black sheep is me. And that little black sheep is me. Amen. My friend, as we come to this Christmas, let's remember the Christ of Christmas. He is the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Father, thank you for Lord, the opportunity to open your word today. Thank you for how you have blessed with safety to come down here. Thank you for their kind attention even this morning. I pray that in remaining moments that you be with Pastor as he leads, and Lord, whatever the need is in our hearts, I pray that we would realize today that we're significant in your eyes. We would not be discouraged by what's going on in the world, but we would keep our focus upon you, who is our Savior. Pray if there's anyone here under the sound of my voice who does not know you as their Savior, they would come to know you even today before they leave the doors of this church. And I pray you give us the courage and the boldness to tell our family, our friends, and those we meet, even this Christmas season, simply by giving a gospel tract, even saying Merry Christmas, Lord, to give the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for what you're going to do here at Grace Bible Church. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Would you turn together to number 93? Number 93. We're going to sing on the second stanza of Christmas, Alleluia, Amen. God comes to sinful man, Alleluia, Amen, bringing salvation's plan. Shepherds rejoice to hear, angels in light appear, to Bethlehem draw near, Alleluia, Amen. Bethlehem being the house of bread, the place where you're fed, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you stand together? And if God's working in your heart today, you can come forward, kneel down here in the front, and get things settled with the Lord. If you're without Christ, if you're a Christian here and you've not been telling others about Jesus Christ, then you need to get busy.
Amen.
You need to understand why you're here, why you've been saved. You're an ambassador. And we need to be telling others about the wonderful country that we're all going to as Christians, and that's heaven. So let's sing together that second stanza, number 93. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful concert and for the Word of God that was shared with us today. And there may be someone here without Christ. Maybe they put on a good show for years, but they realize and know that they're not on their way to heaven. They've lived their lives for themselves, no thought of Jesus Christ. But Lord, the message has been made. The message has been given. And I pray that we would respond if we are without Christ, to come to Him before it's too late. As we learn every day, there are people whose lives were snuffed out, and those people had no idea that that would be their last day. From the horrible shootings up in Providence, Rhode Island, to Sydney, Australia, we're reminded that life is short. May we not play games with our soul, but may we make sure that we're on our way to heaven on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. And for Christians that are here today, Lord, this Christmas season is a perfect opportunity to be faithful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Lord, I pray You'd stir our hearts. Help us to be aware of those around us, many without Christ. May we share the good word of God with them. We thank You for bringing Brother Thomas to us. We thank You for his ministry today. We look forward to his preaching ministry tonight. We thank You for bringing Asa to us, and we pray for him as he prepares to go to Italy with the team. We pray that You'd watch over, provide for him, and we pray that You would use him in a mighty way to share the gospel. Now, Father, I pray that You would dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Watch over and protect us. Bring us back together again this evening, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.